Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to our second episode of our podcast. And I'm your host, Ray Wong from New York City, and my co-host, Bruce Leong from the Bay Area, specifically San Jose.
What's up, guys?
And I think... Girls. Hello, everyone. I think we kind of brainstormed a little bit. First episode, we didn't have a podcast name, and I think we might have a good idea. Bruce, what were we thinking?
So... We were thinking, you know, since we're talking about our experiences and how they've changed us, so we're thinking of rewind and fast forward.
Right, because it's kind of like you're looking back, but then you want to also speed forward because you're hopefully learning something from our past experiences or lessons, and then, you know, you can take that to move into the future. So I think it's fitting. It's kind of retro-y. And that's something we used to do, I guess, as kids, right? We'd rewind and fast forward our cassette tapes and stuff like that. And so I think we're going to stick with rewind and fast forward. If we come up with something better, or you guys come up with something better, let us know and maybe we'll change it. So for now,
welcome to Rewind and Fast Forward.
Episode two. All right. So we've got a great topic today. Bruce is actually going to lead this one. What do you want to talk about, Bruce?
So I wanted to talk about being connected just during your everyday, whether that's at work, whether that's after work, and the benefits and, the problems that arise from that. Because I think that, kind of growing up and not being able to have my phone and have my computer in my pocket and then being able to have it now, it's really interesting because we didn't grow up with that.
Yeah, I know. Some people think that we're like super young, so thanks. There was a time, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, where you didn't have these connected devices on you all the time. You didn't have a way to distract yourself, play games, or, you know, go check the internet, check Twitter, whatever it is, check what the rest of the world is doing. And now we do. And, you know, it's a good and a bad thing. Let's just jump right into it. What do you think is good and what do you think is bad? I mean, we both obviously need devices for work. We need devices in order to connect to our loved ones, our friends and family. It's almost impossible to not have a device. We can try to cut ourselves off, but it's not easy.
Yeah, I mean, when I think about this topic, I think of kind of my first job when I was living in New York City. I would go home after work, and then I would just like veg out, watch TV, do nothing, right? I didn't have a smartphone, really. It was BlackBerry Pearl.
BlackBerry Pearl, so what year was that? Like 2000?
That was like 2007?
2007.
2007. I would look at my phone for emails, but I mean, who of your friends were really emailing you at 8 p.m., right? It was probably your boss, and you really didn't want to see that email.
Right.
That being said...
But then again, iPhone didn't come out yet, maybe. It had just come out.
It literally just came out. Yeah, it was the summer of
that. And Android didn't exist yet. So Android didn't exist for another year, so... Whoa, it's a totally different world.
It was very different, and my news was on like cable TV or a satellite TV, or I picked up a newspaper, right?
So I thought you were going to say stone.
when I started thinking about, you know, how like my after work or how my day has changed and how I'm able to get news, talk to people instantly, I mean... Right, you and I, we talk on Slack, and Slack used to be just a work thing, and now it's like, well, there's free tiers. You can talk with friends.
I made a Slack because you're on Android, I'm on iPhone, and, you know, yes, there are ways to kind of communicate multi-platform, like Google Hangouts or, you know, GChat or whatever, but I'm in front of my computer at work all day. Slack is open. I don't want to look like I'm sitting there typing on my phone or using it for personal reasons. So that's why I made a Slack channel, and now I've hooked everybody our friends on Slack.
That's how we
keep up with each other, and it's actually been quite good, I think.
Yeah, I think it's been great. The one thing is the immediacy of having a message go out to the group. You're just like, you're waiting, and then there's always this typing you see that people do. So Maria, my fiance, was like, "Oh, I'll check it tomorrow. I heard there was something. You mentioned there's something going on, Bruce." And I was like, "You're kind of late to the game. It would be weird to just jump in." Then again, right, she could just send an at message, just like chain it off, and I mean that could work. But I felt kind of like an asshole where I was just like, wow, you missed it. You missed like the excitement. You know, there was like a friend press release.
Press release. Oh, I like that. Wow, that's a good one.
But so back to this 2007, you mm-hmm. know, trying to stay connected, calling people, texting them, you know, having, what was it, autocorrect. I don't know if, is autocorrect just an Apple thing?
No, it's on the Android, but it didn't exist in full yet, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, you were texting, you were watching TV, you were reading the newspaper, you were reading books.
So time was way slower, right?
It was definitely slower. And, you know, it was nice because you could kind of detox easily, right? You didn't have that distraction. And now, kind of fast forwarding 11 years or so, mm-hmm. You can be connected all the time whenever you want. You could even tell your devices to unconnect me for an hour. And I think it's interesting because, you know, not having it and now having it, you know, I find myself wanting to be connected in certain ways and not connected in other ways. And the one kind of thing I'll just kick it off with is reading. So okay. For Ray, as you know, which no one else you know knows, you guys give me shit because technically I'm not reading, if that's what you know, I'm listening to the book.
Okay.
Why do I do that? I do that because I'm a little more deliberate with my time now, right? I want to read a book, I want to soak up more information, but I also want to be able to do other things, or I want to, you know, throughout my day get that book in.
But you see, that's where you're trying to squeeze more out of the day, and totally. You need that connectedness in order to achieve that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're trying to get away from, like, being connected so much sometimes and get some more free time,
yeah.
I mean, you are using it.
You're not doing that, right?
You're not doing that.
Yeah, and I think that's where it's this balance that you try to maintain of being connected when you want to be and not being connected when you don't want to be. The thing that's probably the most common for people is when you wake up, what do you do first, right? We tried to do this, let's do push-ups in the morning, but mm-hmm. sometimes I wake up and I look at Instagram, you know, and right. I'm more connected than I really want to be. But when I think about spending my time and being deliberate with it there, you know, I want to get a run in after work. I want to hang out with Maria and I want to read a book. So I might literally be doing two or three of those things at the same time. And that's where being connected is really nice and handy. It also can get really scary because, say, I'm running and I'm following my runs on Nike or Strava, and then I see other people doing the runs. And it, like, there's a little, I don't know, like anticipation that you have where you're just like, oh, wow, I'm seeing other people doing this, you know. So it's kind of this, I don't know, how do you feel about it? You know, with being connected, I mean, we know work is one thing, but after work.
You know what? After work, I kind of wish I was able to not connect to my devices as much. And, you know, I have cousins in Paris, and they're not allowed to use their email or check emails after office hours, I think like 5 o'clock, right? So actually, I just found this out, not from my cousins, but from a colleague who's reviewing this dumb phone. A lot of people are buying like dumb cell phones again in order to, you know, keep in touch, because they don't want to use their full-blown iPhone or Android device in order to get distracted and be tempted to check email. So it's like literally just going back to a phone call. For me, I think that I wish there are people had more willpower. You know, I try, yeah. I periodically try to disconnect just myself.
Detox. Okay.
Right. So like, you know, it's really bad for you. It increases your, you know, your stress levels. And
totally.
So like first thing in the morning, I try not to look at my phone immediately. Like I'll go and shower and, you know, start my routine before looking at that. And then on the train, you know, you have that, I have that long commute, so it's like I can check Twitter, which is great. That is for work or whatever, emails, but I could also use that time to just not have anything plugged in, no music, or, you know, no, I'm not looking at my screen. That is me time. That is a 1 hour or 1 hour of me time where it's almost meditative, you know? And you can use it however you want, read a book or whatever, and just kind of, and by read a book, I mean like not an audiobook for me at least.
Yeah, and totally.
So yeah, I think there's a, I wish more people could do it. And it requires a lot of discipline.
I mean, I wonder though, with living in New York, you know, having lived in New York City, it's very easy to be connected all the time. It's very easy to just be like on your game, right? But if you live in other places, now I'm living in San Jose, where if I'm running or if I see news or I see Instagram, like it helps connect me closer to other things. Maybe it makes me have a little more motivation. Now this is in like the best case scenario, right? In the worst case scenario, I'm reading everything, absorbing everything.
Are you saying that like because you are more like physically spread out that you need that digital more in order to like kind of bring things closer? Whereas in New York, proximity is everything. So like, you know, everything is within reach almost, and you feel less like, I don't know, you feel less of a, there's less of a reason to want to or need this because, you know, you can go to a place or walk out instead of having an app do it for you. So for example, let's say ordering food, you can just go out and grab some food instead of, you know, driving and deliberately thinking about it.
Yeah. And that's what I literally had to do last night, where, you know, Maria was talking about how the food here isn't as good as New York, and it's not, you know, there's no if, and, or but, but you know, everything is closer. There's more of it in the area. So I wanted Greek food and I had to drive a few miles. I literally had to go into my elevator, get in my car, drive, park, order it. And yeah, I mean, I'm not saying like, because New York is closer, I need to be on my device, because that's, you know, not what it means. But it what I'm saying is that, you know, it does help being connected with you or with friends or with, I don't know, what's going on, to feel, I guess, that, yeah, more connected. I don't know. I don't know if, where I'm going with that, but.
Well, most recently, I just don't want to use my devices. I realize that I'm on my devices all the friggin' time. I'm always connected. It's almost like a good thing. It is a good thing to have some privacy and some downtime, because I bet you my blood pressure is pretty high whenever I'm using my devices.
Sure.
And you know, like, I've worn a smartwatch for, you know, a couple of years, and you know, the last year and a half maybe, I went to a mechanical watch, and you know, for the first couple of months I felt like phantom vibrations from my Apple Watch or from my wrist.
Okay.
So like, you felt vibrations that weren't there because, you know, you're so used to them. And that was one reason why I stopped wearing a smartwatch, because I'm just like, is this too much? Is this just like, I'm feeling a connected tissue, you know, to this digital world, almost like when it's not there, and I'm just like, this is impeding in my life, you know, it's getting in the way, and it's making me jumpy, it's making me anxious especially, and you know, when you're anxious, you know, your mood fluctuates and it pisses you off, it could upset you, it could make you, you know, have mood swings or whatever, and your attitude will be very different and your outlook will be very different. So
I completely agree, and I think where tech can work is, say you want to do something that you need a device, right? I mean, for instance, this is not where I need a device, but I like to play music, and that means I literally need to have a guitar in my hand,
right?
So that's something where there's no reason to be connected, maybe to pull up chord sheets, but I don't need it. But maybe when I don't want to say coding because that's the worst example, but say I'm running or I want to listen to an audiobook and I don't want to read, I am connected, and that's maybe just my mode of consuming that information. Now, I think that this is all in the best case scenario where tech can be useful. In most scenarios, you're right. It raises your blood pressure. If I see a new email come in that's not Gmail, that's coming from work, yeah, I'm worried a little bit, right? There's like this little hesitation, and but that's not good.
Don't you feel like this was inevitable because, you know, we're all trying to like almost like what we're doing is basically hacking our human bodies and like our life, trying to get more time out of the time that we have in a given day without obviously, you know, embedding things inside of our bodies and all that stuff. But, you know, we're trying to do more in the same amount of time. If you compare what we are doing today versus what you were doing, you know, 2007, you're absolutely doing more. You're watching more videos. You're like, you know, listening to more books, or, you know, you've accomplished more probably. But is that better? I don't know. I don't think so.
I mean, you're totally right. I mentioned one thing about playing music to you where I was like, it's kind of hard for me to think about playing music where I know I'm going to suck for the rest of my life. You know, when I think about something else, like say taking a photograph, right? Or writing, you're just like, well, I could get it on Instagram. I could make a blog. Like you can track improvement. You can measure improvement. And it's hard to have something where you can't or you don't need to do that. Like running is a perfect example where you can go completely one way and then completely another way where you can be completely connected and be like, I had a bad run today. Like I wasn't fast. Or you can be like, man, I just like burned off a lot of steam. I feel great.
Well, that's one reason why I kind of enjoyed running over the summer. So for you guys listening, I'm not a like serious runner or anything like that. I don't run marathons like Bruce. But over the summer I ran with him every weekend. And sometimes on my own. And it was really just for fun. I wasn't measuring anything really. I wasn't trying to hit a goal. I wasn't trying to get faster. I wasn't trying to like, you know, run farther. It was really just about going out there and just doing this exercise and, you know, burning or sweating it out and just kind of like, it's a feel good thing, you know? And, there were times where I, you know, put on my smartwatch and started to run and had it quantified, but then I quickly realized either like during that run or after that run or maybe the next run that I was slowly inching towards this target indirectly. And I was like, okay, I had to stop myself. I'm like, what am I doing this for? Am I doing it to get faster? Because, you know, I think I did tell you, I was like, man, I want to get a little faster. And I was like,
I feel slow, you know,
I feel slow. But I'm just like, hold it. What am I doing this for? I'm doing it for my own reasons, which are different from yours and different from someone else's. And so I had to like put that watch back down or, you know, stop trying to listen to like faster music to try to get myself in, you know, that running pace, because that does affect it, you know?
I mean, I wonder though, where running or playing music, there are these hobbies. And I know this was another topic I wanted to talk about, but where you have these hobbies that do not involve tech, or they really can't involve tech, and then you have hobbies that directly involve it. And
give me an example of a hobby that you could do that doesn't involve tech, or any kind of, let's say, electrical device. So like no music or any iPod writing, or anything.
Writing. You know, I think that maybe is something of the past where you used to like just write.
Are you talking pen and paper? Pen and paper?
Yeah, pen and paper writing. That doesn't involve like tech. I mean, now I guess you could
use an iPad or whatever.
Drawing, you know, before you used to have that iPad pencil. I don't know. What can you think of that are really that you typically don't use tech?
I mean, it'd have to be some kind of activity, I feel, that's location based, right? Where you are outside or where tech cannot be, you know, so physically. I'm just throwing these out, probably like something like racquetball or something, right?
Sure.
You're in that room, you're, you know, both hitting the ball, you cannot, there really can't be any tech in there because, you know, that'll distract.
Swimming.
I mean, there's, you see, everything, you're right, everything is slowly becoming almost like techified, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, people are getting, like, Apple Watches that can measure laps and all that stuff, or Garmins or whatnot. It's tough. Yeah, I mean, it's really tough. It's, I would say everything can involve tech. You know, we live in a digital society now, a connected right. society, and it's not like it's becoming less connected. I mean, we've got, you know, we're on the kind of horizon of a brand new wireless revolution where the idea is more connectivity with 5G. So I don't think that's going away. I think what it is what we need more of is you know, mental willpower, because I'm looking at these things. So this year was a big year for digital wellness for a lot yeah. of companies. So like totally. Google, Apple, and Microsoft, everybody, Instagram, Facebook, everybody, they released a lot of tools that are supposed to help you help better inform what you're doing on their services or on their devices. And the idea is to help you curb some of that addictive behavior. And sure. But that's entirely, you know, self-inflicted. So if you don't accept it, or you don't internalize it, you can set it to, let's say, limit Instagram to 1 hour, but you hit cancel every single time after an hour. What's the point? It's kind of like an alarm clock, right? You snooze it. Well, like, what's the point? If you snooze it, you keep snoozing, you'll never wake up.
Well,
you know,
I mean, like, one example is Fitbit, right? My mom, she got one, and she was like, you know, I'm realizing I'm not sleeping that great. And whether or not she actually was or not, but that was a way for her to measure and literally say, like, now I'm sleeping better. Do you see how my deep sleep is getting better? At the same time, she was also having these goals
Did she make any other changes in order to improve her sleep? It's not just about,
I mean, I think
just sleeping earlier or whatever.
Where she was just like, I'm going to try to be a little bit more mindful, or I think she was always into meditation. Okay. But that's one way where it's, you know, that techified can really
help.
It can help, but it also can invade a space where it's like, you know, it can act like this cancer of something that, you know, used to just be sleeping, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, now I'm measuring it, right? Like, oh, I got a good sleep, I got a bad sleep.
Right. Well, you know what? It's funny you bring that up, because I'm actually doing something very similar. I'm not wearing a Fitbit, but I'm trying out this the smart ring. I don't know if you can see
it
there.
I heard about that.
Yeah, so the Motive smart ring, and basically this little guy is very simple. It can measure your heart rate and also your sleep. Now, I tried it out last year. It wasn't very accurate, so I gave up on it.
Wasn't it Kickstarter or something, maybe?
I think maybe. Okay. Or Indiegogo or something like that.
Yeah.
But since then, it's been updated. It seems to be a lot more accurate when I wake up and I sync it to the app. I can see how many hours I've slept, and also how many times I've, like, you know, woke up and was restless and all that stuff. I've been using this thing for like 2 weeks, and I look at the data every day, but it hasn't made me, like, change any of my behavior, because I mean, I'm sleeping later and later every day. I'm not sleeping earlier. I'm like almost like trying to like see how late I can sleep and still get a good night's sleep. Like, I quality sleep in the shorter number of hours.
Hacking again.
Exactly. But like, this thing is supposed to like tell, it's supposed to make me like change
aware
my behavior.
And, right.
Yeah. But somehow it has backfired and I'm not getting better sleep. It's all innate, you know? If you don't have that willpower, that discipline inside of you, then there's nothing that can change it. Like, none of this data matters, you know?
I mean, I also think, you know, when you have this baseline of what is good and bad, like anything, that's when it gets really bad. I mean, it can turn really ugly, right? Where you're just like, I had a good sleep, I had a bad sleep, or then all of a sudden you're measuring this. I don't know how you, like, determine that, because say I'm playing music, right? And it's just, like, therapeutic, but at some point, I'll be like, I'm not improving. I'm not, you know, and you're always kind of measuring it because you're thinking, well, I have X amount of time in the day. I need to make use of it, you know.
Right.
And I don't know. It's like,
let me ask you a side note. It is related. I mean, it's all related. Would you say you get distracted
like
easily? Yeah, I mean, would you say you get distracted easily when you sit down and, let's say, for example, you want to read a book, or you want to watch TV, or you want, your goal is to watch TV, your goal is to play a video game, or your goal is to read a book, or your goal is to write, or, you know, do some kind of hobby. Would you say you get distracted easily during that, let's say, 1 hour period or 2 hour period that you've allotted for this task? Like, are you fighting yourself to, like, resist looking at Facebook, looking at text messages or whatever,
right?
You know,
I'd say that I have to be, like, very deliberate about the time that I'm spending, right? So if I'm saying I'm going to go out for a run, if I'm going to play music, like, it has to be in my mind, knowing that I'm going to spend X amount of time in this, and this is going to be, like, my minimum amount of time. Mm-hmm. But it takes, like, some serious concentration to say I'm going to do this work. And
right.
And for me, you know, I'm a little bit more deliberate about my time, because if I'm going to spend time focusing on something, I really, really, really want to focus.
But and do you actually focus?
I'd say I do, if I do that. But if I were to say how many hours in the day, right? So if I say, like, at work, how many hours am I really, really intensely focused?
Right.
Probably, like, 4 to 5. And,
right.
And
see, that's kind of like, see, I yeah. that's kind of like your quality of sleep, right? You're sleeping, yeah. but you're restless a lot of those, maybe a couple of hours in that time. So how much sleep are you actually getting? How much work are you actually getting done? So I almost feel like there is a merit to kind of like old school tactics, which is like, so for me, like, I actually, not afraid to admit this, I just bought some Blu-rays during Black Friday.
Okay.
But and people ask me, why do I buy physical media? Why not just buy the digital copy, right? It's
sure.
It less clutter, you know, it's usually cheaper sometimes, or, you know,
get it faster.
You get it faster. And I'm like, you know what? The reason why I still buy real books, I still buy, you know, real physical media, is because I'm making a very deliberate and conscious decision to watch a movie. This movie is, like, say, 3 hours, Godfather, right? I bought The Godfather. I was just like, this is a 3-hour movie. That means I'm going to sit down in front of my TV and spend 3 hours in front of it, okay? And try my best not to be distracted, because a digital copy, I mean, maybe it's just the way you approach it, but for me, a digital copy is something you can bounce away from really easily, right?
Totally.
Especially on a multi kind of media device.
Yeah.
Whereas a Blu-ray, you have to, like, I'm going to a bookshelf. That's already step one. I'm putting in the disc inside of my machine. That's step two.
Right.
And then I'm sitting on the couch, and that's, like, step three. It's like I've already invested so much more effort and work into, like, trying to, like, watch this piece of content that I'm all in already.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying, and, you know, I think some things that I do that I try to be very deliberate, like you're talking about, is cooking, right? Something
okay,
where
yeah.
you're just like, there is a start and end to it. You start by bringing out your vegetables, or, I mean, I just eat vegetables, but I'm bringing out all my
food. He is a vegan, guys.
I'd say, yeah, plant-based, vegan, whatever. I don't eat animals.
Is that
no animals
plant-
are harmed.
Is that what you say, plant-based?
I say plant-based. I don't know. I feel like vegan has this connotation of, like, saving
the
world.
So, like, so you, like, still wear animal fur and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, this cotton, I don't know. I don't have much leather. Anyways, so when I'm cooking, right? So I think that is something where I try to be as deliberate and I take my time with. But at the same time, you're just like, if you've ever cooked, you can go from spending 20 minutes to make a meal to spending hours to make that meal. And you know, you at a certain point, you're just like, I want to either speed this up, I want to get it over with. But I think that just activity is definitely something where I try to be as, like, thoughtful. And I mean, maybe this is it a euphemism? I don't know, or just corny, where you're just where I think that you need to be purposeful with your time, right? So if I'm purposeful with cooking and making this food and putting it on a plate, that is something where I'm taking away time from being on Instagram or YouTube. But that, I'd say, to answer the earlier question, that's probably the activity that isn't techified. Should we say techified? I don't know. That sounds weird. Techified?
Connected?
connected? I don't know. Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
I mean, yeah, it's a little disturbing in my opinion. I don't know if there are many hobbies for me where I could do them without, like, you know, being connected.
Well, what about, like, music? I feel like that was something that was always tech-related.
Playing music,
listening to music. It was always tech-related before we had smartphones.
But it was, you know, like, to a way lesser degree. So, like, yeah. You know, you had... I always think about that, actually. Like, having a cassette or one cassette or one CD, you know, it wasn't like we had millions of songs at our fingertips. Or they weren't searchable. So, like, you know, by having one album or one track, you listen to that one song over and over and over. It had more meaning, I think, and you knew the lyrics, and you knew every little section of the song.
Right.
So it just meant something more. Whereas now, yeah, you know, maybe even if you listen to, let's say, like for me, I'll listen to a track, a new hot track, over and over, like I'll have it on repeat. Yeah. But like, it's just like noise in the background. It's like, doesn't really, like, you know,
I mean, I think that it depends, though.
You know,
like,
I'm doing other things. I'm doing a lot of other things. I mean, I'm saying, like, you couldn't do other things back then, but, like, now you've got, like, obviously, like, wireless headphones and, like, you know, AirPods or whatever, and, you know, you can do more things that you couldn't do before. It's all at this for the sake of convenience, but I don't know if the convenience is necessarily better, you know.
Right. I mean, when I think of music, I worked for Pandora, as you know, which is interesting because the music on Pandora, right, it's curated for you. So it's generally meant to be like background music, right? It's, if you're like into music and you have something curated for you, like, that doesn't really make sense, right? But if you have, say, iTunes or Spotify and you choose your songs and you're making this playlist, there's one kind of outlet to use music in a way that's less background and like supplementary, right? I don't know. When I think of being connected, it's like, I feel like there's always this like gray area, and you know me, I'm like in that gray area zone, and you're definitely that black and white. We have this all the time.
I think less so. I'm trying to get away from the pure black or pure white and try to edge myself back towards the middle because it's way too chaotic over there on the edge.
I think, you know, to your kind of to support that black and white part of it, it's when you look at like everyone, you know, that gray area is really the anomalies, right? Where you're taking advantage of tech in a good way and it's helping you throughout the day. Like, that's really rare. You know, I don't think that really exists.
I've always, because I'm a technology lover and, you know, I live and breathe this stuff, I think I've always want to be way more connected. I've always want to be like, you know, a superhuman almost. Like, I want everything. I've always wanted an automated home. I want everything to be like, you know, handled. That way I can, like, use my time better and use it for things that I actually care about. But now that I have this life, now that this life has become a reality, I'm just like, okay, am I actually using all that free time for my own self? And I'm not, because you know what? All this technology and connectedness has actually just sucked me in other ways. So, like, you know, like, for example, like, I have robot vacuums that can sweep for me, right? Yeah. Or collect dust for me and whatnot. And I have, you know, Alexa that can control the lights and stuff. And I'm like, okay, I do shave off some time and, you know, from doing stuff. But, like, what am I doing with the time? I'm just using that time for other technology, other connected stuff. And it's just like, it's in an endless cycle. I'm not using it for, like, my own downtime or anything. Am I spending that time, like, you know, for myself and reading a book or, you know, learning a new hobby or whatever? No, I'm not. So I'm spending it in the same, like, kind of, like, vortex that is, you know, is solving my problems.
I mean, I'd say that the first time I felt super connected, like, maybe this is where I'm placing the blame, right? Is Wikipedia. Why? Because I felt like I could find out anything whenever I wanted about anything at my fingertips. And
right.
It felt like this like superpower, even though it's just like I went, you know, I don't know, a movie reference or a news article, like where you had this information so quick and so readily right. accessible that I didn't need to read an article. And now, like,
well,
when
well,
I look
think
at
about
news,
it.
it's a feed, right?
Well, think about it. Like, back then, we had an encyclopedia. I don't know if you guys had it at home, but I did. Like, my parents had, I think,
yeah.
Britannica
yeah.
or whatever. And if you didn't find something... And this might be like hard for a lot of people to understand, but like if you didn't find something inside the book, you're like, it's like either it didn't exist, or you kind of just like I'm trying.
Or
to
you
think
had the old versions, right? Yeah,
you had the old versions, and I'm trying to think like, okay, what did we do? We either went to the library and tried to find more information, but most
yeah.
of the time you just kind of shrugged off and just like kind of let it go and moved
yeah.
on with your life. You're just like, well, I guess it's not important enough to be in the encyclopedia.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I'd often find something in the newspaper. And it's like, how come this is not in the encyclopedia? Well, you got the old version, and you know, or it's just not important enough. And now it's like everything has almost a Wikipedia entry, and everything
yeah. I mean,
is searchable online.
How many times were we at dinner or something, and we say something, and you're like, I don't know if I agree, or I don't believe
and
that,
you're
and
like,
you're just
let's
like,
let's just check it. You're
boom.
Just like, check it on Wikipedia.
Check, I got, and then you actually like are competing, right? You're just like, I saw it, I'm looking at it first. And I never really thought about being connected through that, but it's like a way where you just are able to be a smartass unintentionally or maybe intentionally.
I mean, I think that's we're all consumers of more unimportant information, I should say. Like, you know,
well, we hope it impresses people, right?
Yeah, it's just like, you know, what would you rather have? Would you rather have better knowledge or more knowledge?
Good question. I
so
mean,
like, you know,
I'm gonna say better. I'm gonna say better
right,
right. now, but it really,
right,
I'm probably thinking more. I'm thinking.
I feel
more.
Like, I mean, all of us consume a lot more information daily, right?
Yeah.
But like, that's how much of that stuff do we actually remember? How much of that stuff do we actually retain, and how much do we need to keep and remember? A lot of it is just stuff that is just like, okay, great, it's memes. Like, who cares? I mean, on your deathbed, you're gonna be like, what are those? Right?
I mean, scooped up all the memes for my group, you know?
Exactly. It's like, who the fuck gives a shit? So, like, I feel like I'm constantly trying to filter myself every day. And say like, okay, I don't care, man. I just don't care about these memes. I don't care what's happening in this dumb Facebook group. And I don't care what's happening on Instagram in this little section of the internet, because at the end of the day, none of this stuff matters. And I'm trying to get to stuff that matters to me and only matters to me.
Well, I wonder though, like,
so like better information,
right? Totally. Well, what about when you're just hanging out with people and they're asking you questions about something, or have you heard about this, or did you see this? I feel like it's weird to say, no, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, it's like, why don't you know what I'm talking about? You could just look. Did you not see this there? And because we have information everywhere, it's almost like you feel like an idiot when you say, I don't know.
Yeah, but it's like, would you rather be an expert at idiocy, or, you know, an idiot? I'm kind of butchering this, but like, you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'd rather be an expert in something very specific in my field or a certain field than know a lot, but almost not like a surface level of expertise about it. You know, it's like, you know of it, but you don't really know much about it. I heard about the movie, but I never actually saw the movie. I don't actually know what happened in the movie. I don't know who directed it. I don't know who the actors were, blah 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 blah. You know, it's a high level versus
yeah.
low level, you know.
Yeah.
And I can't do low level. I just can't.
Well,
that,
I'd say
that means you're consuming meaningless information.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that the way that I found use with tech and being connected is some of the things that my hobbies, which are, say, running and playing music, where I want to be connected, or coding, like, I need them to help me move forward. So it's not really above the surface, like, oh, I just played this song or whatever it is, like I use it as a measurement tool to help me improve. And I think that's the only way I've found being connected is useful. The other ways, it's just noise, like you were saying. And that's where it's like, I work for 8 hours, but I'm connected for, or, you know, I'm not doing just deep work for that amount of time.
Right. Yeah, I mean, some of this, I mean, too much information or too much connectivity can really be very detrimental to everything, you know? Yeah. So, like, recently, my friend, I just gave her a one of those little smart home cameras, right? And yeah. Now she's using it to watch her dog at home. And I'm like, she's like, oh, wow, it really challenged my expectations of what my dog is doing throughout the whole day. Because, like, oh, I thought he would be, like, in his room all day, but it turns out he's somewhere else doing something completely different. And I'm like, right. Don't obsess over it. If you obsess over it, it's going to drive you mad because you're going to want to know what this dog is doing every fucking day. You're stalking your dog, basically. And it's like, who cares what your dog is doing? Just let him live. He's not stalking you.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that is extremely stressful. Just, like, too much, man. It's just too much. And I'm speaking as a guy who is extremely connected. I mean, like, I'm constantly still trying to find ways to, like, simplify and make my life more convenient. But, like, I'm just like, at what point does it stop? At what point am I no longer a human being or I'm so out of touch? Because I just don't know what the fuck is going on anymore. I'm just like, you know, there are things doing it on autopilot for me.
I mean, I guess to kind of wrap up this episode, I'm really curious, like, how people use tech in a positive way. And I don't mean like, oh, I have this robot that builds something for homeless people. You know, like, I mean, like, how do they use tech to really help them do something better or more often to where they find a lot of joy in it? I'm curious with that because for years since I got it, I'm trying to figure it out.
I mean, are you doing anything to try to change your behavior or your, you know, connectedness?
I think proximity is one thing where you try to put your devices in a place where they are away from areas that you don't need them, like, say, the kitchen or the bedroom. That being
said,
I try to do that. I definitely try to do that.
A lot of people try to, like, put their phones outside of their bedroom before they sleep in order to not feel, you know, tempted to reach for them and, you know, spiral into a dark hole on Wikipedia or whatever, Reddit or whatever. But I've never actually done that.
But next week we should try this for a few days and just see how
we should try this for a few days.
We should try this for a few days. At least two. At least two.
I will say it's going to be hard for me because, like even last night, I was, you know, I got into bed and then next thing you know, I was watching an episode of a TV on Amazon Prime.
All right, so let's try.
I was like screwed. I was like, shit, it's 3 a.m.
Let's try 2 days in a row, okay? So next week, we will see how that went.
We'll do a little experiment. And
if we can
we'll
go for 2 days. I mean, two, like, full days. Of not having it in our bedroom. How's that?
I mean, like, at all.
Your phone, specifically or all devices, or what?
I mean, let's start with our phone, because that's the most important device. Then and tablet, I guess, and laptops. I mean, you can have your laptop if it's at your desk and you're not going to reach for it. But if you reach for it, then, I mean, you gotta strike yourself. Slap yourself a little bit. Now I'm trying to figure out how the fuck am I gonna wake up in the morning because my phone is my alarm clock. I guess I could
Echo. Put it outside there. You put it outside.
I'm not gonna hear that.
I mean, make it louder.
I'm gonna have to find an alarm clock. I'm gonna have to invest in an alarm clock.
Right,
oh crap!
Let's do it.
All right. Okay. Now this is a challenge.
This is a challenge. Let's try this. Cool.
All right, so, well, yeah, we're almost out of time. You know, there's no set time for our podcast, but we.
But we are out of time.
We're out of time. I think we covered a lot of ground today.
Like positives and negatives with being connected, and everyone is a little different.
Right? I mean, I think I want to end it on kind of like, what is your ideal situation? You know, if you can make some changes. So, you know, we're coming towards the end of the year. There is a new year. You know, I don't really particularly love making resolutions or anything like that, but I think because now that we are a little more aware of, how connected we are, are there little changes that we can implement and kind of improve in the new year in order to get to kind of a better lifestyle that's more balanced and healthier and either less connected or more connected? Or, and if it's more connected, it's like, you know, in positive ways that actually produce kind of a more efficiency or convenience for yourself. Or if it's less connectedness, which will also potentially open up, you know, more room for personal endeavors or whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, kind of to that point, if you were to say, this is my resolution or this is what I'm trying to do, like, you're going to fail. You're going to fall off the wagon. You're going to fall off the wagon, right? But the point is, like, you
let's
get back
set
on it.
Let's not set the listeners up for failure. I mean, I'm asking you, what is your ideal kind of lifestyle balance? And do you think you need to make any changes or not? You're doing a good job right now?
I'd say definitely with the phone and the connected devices. I know that it won't be easy and it won't be perfect because if I'm going for next year every single day, it's not going to happen. But if I fall off the wagon and I get back on, then I think that is even better than being perfect because it's like you actually have to deal with not working out, you know?
Well, for me, I probably have to like disconnect a couple of things, more than a couple of things. And, you know, obviously roping you guys all into Slack didn't really help because that actually made us more connected. You know, we're talking more every day now than we've ever talked before.
But there is a timeline where we're like everyone's home. I feel like it'll get to a point where we start messaging at night, but maybe we can try to say...
Somebody actually, our friend Sammy, she just slacked me and she asked me what was the result because I asked her something, but I was like, well, you know what? After hours, why are you slacking me? You know, I think that's the interesting thing about Slack. It's such a work thing, right? Where it's like, oh, I left the office, so I guess I'll answer it tomorrow. And it's okay. You know, it's almost acceptable. Yeah. So for me, yeah, I think I want to disconnect a couple of things. So I've actually made some changes already in order to be like less glued to certain services. So either unsubscribing from them or, you know, cutting them out entirely or, you know, using them less, or little changes like on the train where I'm like, okay, at least for half of the ride, first half or second half, I don't want to be looking at my phone. You know, I can look out the window and stretch my eyes and relax my eyes a little bit. And also getting home and, you know, when I get home, I used to just drop down on the sofa and kind of, again, peruse through Twitter or whatever and Instagram. Now I kind of like, I get home, start this like small routine where I just like put all my devices on my, like, my desk in my bedroom, and then I can go and do something else, you know, as long as I'm not moving to another device. So everything's kind of like in one area. It's like, okay, it's out of reach almost. So yeah, I want a little more balance there. I want to, use my devices less, because, you know, as you know, Bruce, I have a lot at home and, I rarely have to charge them because I have so many. So it's like if one dies, then I'll just reach for another. It's
gonna
a rarity.
We're going to try the 2-day thing. Let's try it.
We'll try a 2-day thing.
2 days.
And we'll see how it goes.
2 days in a row.
Okay. I mean, do you want to set the dates or days?
No, it doesn't matter. Friday and Saturday? I don't know.
I mean,
that could get. All right. You pick the days. We'll pick them offline, and then we'll tell you what happened.
All right. But, yeah, those are the changes I would make. And, yeah, I hope that everyone
reassesses. Hope someone's listening.
I hope everyone kind of, like, I mean, my takeaway is, like, I hope everyone assesses their own digital lifestyle and sees whether it's, you know, good or bad, and sees it if they can kind of fix it or not fix it. You know, maybe it's perfect. I don't know. And if it is, don't be afraid to admit that, you know, you need to, you know, lean off of it a little bit, yeah, and wean yourself off. So, yeah, well, thanks for listening to our Rewind and Fast Forward podcast, episode 2. We'll be back next week with another episode on a completely different topic, hopefully. Yeah. And where can people find you on the internet, Bruce? Oh, this is kind of weird because it's like, you know, we're trying to be less connected. We're telling people to go find you.
I think Biscotini on Instagram. That's probably the one.
Yeah. Okay. Slide into his DMs. And you can find me on Twitter or Instagram. On Twitter, it's Ray Wongy, R-A-Y-W-O-N-G-Y. And on Instagram, it's Sour Lemons, one word. So we'll see you guys next time. Peace.